All right. So this is exactly where I planned to start this morning. And again, Nelly's my witness. Past 2 weeks, I've been talking about staying in your place of peace, not speaking. We've been talking about the right to stand and the authority over the enemy. We've been talking about our ability to focus on what God said versus over what keeps to come at us. And I want to tell you something. The enemy came at me from every direction. Emotionally, physically, spiritually. I was just bombarded. It got to the point, trying to keep quiet, I was screaming inside my head. And this past week was crazy because I did a lot of traveling, a lot of moving. I had to go to Allentown, then I had to come back, then I had to go all the way out PA and pick up all this. Somebody gave me a whole bunch of salon chairs and equipment and like a whole like setup. So I had to get a truck and I had to go out there. No, I had to come back. No, Monday a meeting. Tuesday we had to come in to go out to Allentown and we had to come to New York because we had a delivery on Wednesday. Then we had to go back to the Poconos. Then I had to go out to further out Pennsylvania, get a truck, pick up all his equipment, come back. We got there to get the equipment. It began to pour and rain on us while we're trying to get the equipment in the truck, clean it up. Get on the road. The truck is the worst truck. My legs are like cramped up like almost on my chest. Terrible truck. And then accidents all over the highway. Took a trip that should have taken me an hour and 40 minutes, wound up taking me about 5 hours being cramped in the truck. So now I'm like a physically exhausted, emotional wreck on Thursday. Friday morning, I'm supposed to go back home, take the truck back, and I then have to take the Beamer and go back to New Jersey for service. I said to Angela, cancel the service. I just want to stay home today and rest and just not do anything. And then Ariane breaks her arm. So now we're sitting at the doctor's to 3 o'clock in the morning. And then we had to get up Saturday morning again at 6 to come here for the pantry. So you have to imagine I am drained on every spiritual, possible, physical, emotional level. I'm in my head, I'm screaming, God, let me off this planet. Just let me out. I just want to get out of here. I'm not whining. I'm telling you what it was about. Saturday morning, we get up early in the morning and we're ready to get ready to come for the pantry. I'm, like I told you, I don't do a lot of sleeping now. So I'll sleep for a few hours and I'm back up. So I'm up early, like 6-something on Saturday morning, even though we went to bed at 3. And I got ready and just getting the kids together. And I'm ready before everybody and I come outside. And I'm just walking around, just staring at the sky and having a conversation with the Lord. As I'm standing there, and like I have this ability to internalize my hurt. I'm standing there sorting through it, and I'm going through this. Some of you are going to relate to this, and that's why I wanted it recorded. I don't want to speak nothing negative over myself. I don't want to say anything bad. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to, I'm just going to hold this. I'm just not going to say it. Just keep it in here. And, you know, but what I'm going through is screaming at me in surround sound. But I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to speak positive. So my wife comes out. She's getting the stuff in the car, the last of the stuff. And she says to me, are you okay? Now I'm thinking that I'm thinking I got my thing, you know, I'm cool. She said, you okay? I said, yeah, I'm dealing with some stuff, but you know, I don't want to speak anything negative into the air, blah, 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 blah. She said, okay. So we get in the car and we're driving down the road. And she looks at me and said, say what's on your mind. Well, first I look back to see if the kids are sleeping. Because if I'm going to say something. So I said, here's on what was what's on my mind. And I started telling about how I was feeling about myself, my life, about the pressures that were coming. I said, I'm careful to say, I feel like this, and I'm feeling like, I don't say I am depressed, or I am, you know, losing it, or I am, you know, emotionally going. I just say I feel. These are feelings. They're not the reality. They're not the truth of God's word. These are just the feelings at the moment. See, this is where you'll get preached to. So these are just, but at the moment, I'm feeling a lot of stuff. And I feel like I'm about to explode. I feel crazy. And she, you know, it's like, I don't talk to many of your, because you're always trying to give me a solution. You're trying to quote a scripture and be spiritual and deep and feel like you got to match me on some kind of level. She looked over. She put a hand on my hand. She looked over and said, it's going to be all right. We'll pray. And she went back to driving. And at that moment, something just lifted. And I sat there and said, this woman just saved my life. I said, this woman just saved me. She don't even know what she did. I said, but this woman, just by doing that, in that calm spirit, like Jeff said, in that power, she didn't say, I'm going to pray for you. She said, it's going to be all right. We'll pray. In other words, we're going to pray, and it's going to be straight. And I sat there, and just all of a sudden, I was like, the voices just got softer and softer and softer. Now, my head was still racing, but I felt stronger. So yesterday, I slept all day. It's like I kept trying to wake up. Kept saying, I want to sleep because I'm going to mess up my sleep. I'm not going to go to sleep tonight. But every time I sat on the bed, I fell back to sleep. I guess my body was just, my mind, everything was exhausted. So she came back from getting her hair done and everything. She came in the room and she said, I'm so tired, I'm going to take a nap. And I said, okay, well, I'm going to leave the room so you can take your nap. You know, I'm going to be on my phone or whatever I'm doing. She said, no. Stay here. And I said, nah, I don't want to mess with you. You go ahead and sleep. She said, well, stay for a minute. Just lay down. Stay there a minute. And she reached over and she put her hand on my head and she started massaging my head and my temples. Exactly where my head was throbbing. She just reached over with me not saying a word. And she started rubbing my head. And I was like, how'd you know I had a headache? She said, I didn't know you had a headache. I just felt I was supposed to massage your head. And I fell asleep again. I slept a lot yesterday. But I understood. Lord, how do I say this? One, what you were talking about, Jeff, that woman is my anchor. Two, Fontaine talked about it when he was here. It's not the big, spectacular things that are going on in marriage. It's the ordinary, everyday stuff. That's the stuff that lasts through the test of time. All the flowers and roses and kissy, kissy, goo, goo. That bull crap. We still have that. It's moments, though. I don't see her every day and want to jump her and vice versa. It's like some days, don't even touch me. Like, I'm focused on this. But then there's those other days where all the romance and stuff is a lot. But you can't live for that. Relationships are not built on that. But here's what I learned, or I'm learning through this experience. I saw God's grace in a way I never saw God's grace before. Just to keep you in this. But I also saw this. And this is what I want to talk about today as we are still in the message stand. The devil is nothing but deception, and that's all he has. He has to sell it to you, and you have to buy it. If you don't buy it, it don't work. So he had to come at me from every direction he could. So as I'm thinking I'm standing up one thing, this other thing is falling. And all of a sudden, I forgot that I wasn't supposed to be trying to balance everything. So I started trying to balance everything myself. And then he got me for a minute. If you know what I'm talking about, stick a hand up and do it like that. You understand what I'm saying? Because that's who he is. He's the liar and he's the father of deceit, and he can't beat you. He can't take from you what God says is yours. You have to willfully surrender it. He has to convince you that it's not yours. I've said this a million times. I'll say it again. The biggest thing that happened in the Garden of Eden was he convinced them that who God said they were not. Have you seen this tree? God said, you don't eat it, you die. No, he knows if you eat it, you should be like gods, knowing good and evil like him. So he's trying to keep something from you. And he promised them that if they ate of this tree, they would be like gods. And they already were made in the image and likeness of God. How much more like God did they need to be? But he convinced them that there was something being kept from them. And as a result, got them to buy something that they didn't need to purchase. So all of a sudden, that whole message I gave last week about being in the ring and getting smacked around and jumped on and still trying to win and forgetting to tag, I lived through it. Right after preaching it. I lived through it. I'm trying to be strong and hold down the enemy who's a defeated foe. He's not even qualified to be in the same ring with me. And I said, after yesterday, I said, you punk. You always overplay your hand. You don't know when to quit. When you had a little balance in me running back and forth, you had to try to go in for the kill and expose yourself. The devil always exposes his hand. He always overplays his hand. I don't stand up and talk about the devil, but I just want to let you know, he still does the same crap he always does. And you still have the same victory you always had. Amen. And you have the same authority that Jesus said. Amen. Nothing has changed. As soon as I realized it, it was get me thee behind me, and battle's over. Amen? Amen. So, I'm strong. I was hoping she would be down here because I want her to hear this, but since she wasn't, that's why I decided to record it. Because I asked her, are you going to be down here today? She said, yes, good, I'm going to talk about you. I want you to be here for it. Yeah. She decided she would rather cook. That's her. Listen, this is my wife. Those are the things that I'm not so crazy about. But hey, it's important to you. Cooking's important to me. So it is what it is. It's the pros and the cons. I'm a very definite person about what I believe. I'm strong about what I believe. I didn't get an amen or mm-hmm or nothing, a me too, or that's right. You're some weekend words. Come on now. I'm a strong person in my convictions. What I believe, I believe. That's right. That's right. No, I want you to jump in on this, because this if you don't confess it, I can't confess it for you. Me standing over you telling you, you're powerful in the Lord. I hate when these so-called prophets and whatever you want to call it, prophet lying over people and God, and you're so strong. And the person, and I'm like, okay, listen, they got to say it. There's no power in me saying it unless you receive it. According to your faith, not my faith, be it unto you. My job is to get you to speak the word over yourself. I'm strong in my convictions, and if I see it in the word, I'm dumb enough from the world standard to believe that it's truth and can't be changed. I believe it's infallible. I believe the word is infallible. I believe the word is what it says it is. I believe God's word works, and not just on Tuesday. And I do not believe that the word of God is like a lotto that sometime you win and sometime you lose. Amen. Amen. Well, you never know what God's going to do. Oh, well, if it be the Lord's will. These are subtexts that are written in by men that do not exist in the Bible. All the promises of the Lord are what? And, okay, so if they are, then where did we get sometimes and maybe? Well, you know the Lord works in mysterious ways. What scripture is that? And it does say he works in mysterious ways, but he was talking about those who are not his own, not to his own. He said to you, you have not because you ask not. And he also said in the Old Testament, call on me and I will answer you. Asking you shall receive, seeking shall find, knocking the door shall be open. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Need I go on? He's not trying to teach you anything by your mishaps. You have them, and then he works all things together for the good, but he's not causing all things. No, but the scripture says, no. He says, let no man say when he is tempted or tested, the word is parazo, that he is tempted or tested of God, for God is not evil, neither does he use evil to tempt or test any man, but every man, woman, girl, boy, and child is drawn of their own lust and enticed. And when that lust is conceived, it brings forth sin, and when that sin is conceived, it brings forth death. Don't get it twisted, because it keeps going. If you keep reading after that, he said, be not deceived. Only every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of light, where there is no variation or shadow of turning, all in that same verse. James 1. Read the whole chapter. Don't read it. Count it all joy when you go through divers temptations and then try to leave it there. Read the whole thing because he explains. But you go through divers temptations because the lust of your own heart leads you to places. So the enemy came, and it was now time for me, as a good study student, are you listening to me?
Yes.
To put to practice what I had studied in the textbook all week. Now I got to sit this down for a minute. Yeah, I hear you, Spirit of God. You can't keep reading, quoting, and listening to scripture, and then every time the enemy comes, go running back to the camp. See, that's a Saul manifestation. Every time Goliath came out, they came out with their shields and singing their Israelite victory battle cries. And every time Goliath came out and said, rah, they all went running back in the camp. The church is full of that. Strong when you're around other believers on Sunday, but then when it comes time to face down Goliath, you don't even know what you trusted. You don't know if it's a stone or a sword or a shield. You just go running. Sometime you got to walk through them. We went through that with the armor. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which quenches every fiery dart of the devil. We went through it. Every piece of that armor is for going forward. There's no armor behind you. You're never supposed to be in retreat. So, I had a chance to practice what I preached this week. My flesh did not want to cooperate, and neither will yours. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? Who is relating to what I'm teaching today as a personal experience right now? The flesh is not going to want to cooperate. The flesh is going to want to quit. The flesh is going to want to run away. The flesh is going to tell you, you lost before and you're going to lose again. But you lost before, not because you lost, but because you believed that you lost and you turned and you went the other way. But if we can make a decision this time that we will not turn back, but we will come out the other side, we will. I will not let you pass until you bless me. I love that. What was his name? What was his name? What was his name? And what does Jacob mean? Swindler. So he was already named crook. He had no, you know, those names were serious for that back then. He stole his brother's birthright. He was a crook. God deemed you crook. Your name is crook. People don't understand what he meant when he said, I will not let you pass until you bless me. He wasn't talking about a new camel and the hottest new sandals or a new hut to live in. He was saying, I will not let you pass until you change my name. Did God not change his name? What did he change his name to? And what does Israel mean? Come on. The people of God. The people of God. That's their name to this day. How you go from swindler to the name that God calls his people to this day? And every time he says, I love Israel and I'll protect Israel and I'll keep Israel and all these wonderful stuff he says over the name that he gave this dude whose name was before that swindler. Crook. I take the limp. If that's the inheritance. Oh, you're not listening to me. I'm telling you something. How many of you had a week similar to mine? See? All right, you can put your hands down. I ain't going to pick you up. Some of you got hands up like this, like, I'm not going to carry you. I just asked a question. Here's the point. So did I. And I'm here today to tell you that the devil ain't got really nothing. It's just threats. It's just fears. It's just selling you insecurities to see if you will buy them. But if you refuse, he has to turn back. No different than Jesus in the wilderness. He came at him with all the same stuff. And he tried and he tried and he tried. And after he saw that he wasn't getting anywhere, he left and the angels came and ministered to Jesus. You gotta stand still long enough to give the angels a chance to come and minister to you. I'm going to say that three more times. You got to stand still long enough to see the angels come through and minister to you. You got to wait it out. I'm not saying let the devil whip on you. He don't have the authority to whip on you. It's just mind crap. You got to hold your if you want to call it your peace, your sanity together and to the enemy's finish with his foolishness. To see God come with his angels and minister to you. How we doing? Usually all in my notes by now, but I just got preachitis today. Luke chapter 21. Let me know when you're there. Start at verse 8 or 7. Teacher, they ask, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to take place? What sign is going to be, Lord, to know that these things that you said are going to happen are going to happen? And he said, watch out that you are what? That you are what? That's the key. Remember, we just did the armor of God. He said, you put on the full armor that you may be able to what? Stand against what? What? And we went over through detail through the dictionary and everything. And what are wiles? Trickery, deceit, lies, manipulation. Not attacks and bruises and cuts. He didn't say stand there and let the devil whip on you and just be strong and just take it. He said the wild. This armor is to stand against lies and deceit of the devil. And then we come right here. He says, be careful that you are not deceived, wild, tricked by delusion and illusion. For many will come claiming, I am he. and that the time is near. Do not follow them. How many church people go running after people that start teaching the end is coming? Oh, my God. Oh, there was a Bible in the window from the light. And I remember all that stupid. Oh, gosh. Don't follow them. You will hear of wars and uprisings. Do not be frightened. Are we hearing about those? Okay, so what does he tell you to do? So that means if hearing it is frightening you, turn off the TV and stop listening to it. This is what the Lord is saying. I don't know if you got the same Bible as mine, but this writing is red. Red means this is Jesus saying it himself. He said, "If I'm saying to you, don't be deceived. If all the stuff you're hearing on TV is making you uncomfortable and frightened, and this lives matter, and the cops' lives matter, and all, turn it off. Turn it off. But I need to know what's going on. You're in this world. You're not of it. You don't need to know all of that. And if it's taking your peace, I'm going to get some church people upset. If it's taking your peace, you shouldn't be watching it. It says, finally, my brother, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are praiseworthy, if there be any virtue of praise, think on these things. That's what the Bible tells you to think about, not on CNN or Fox. Amen. Amen. Change your focus. Yeah, I know scripture. Do not follow them means get out of those conversations. When you hear wars and uprisings, do not be frightened. These things must happen, but the end will not come right away. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Seeing a lot of that, huh? There will be earthquakes, some of that. Mm-hmm. And famine, you seen some of that? And pestilence. In various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. Wait a minute. He just said, don't worry about none of that, though. He said, that has to happen and it's going to happen, but don't you worry about it. Well, who's... Mm-mm, you're not getting me. He's saying all this stuff is going to happen, but don't worry about it. Let's try it again. Isn't that stuff you would naturally worry about? Earthquakes and famines and pestilence and floods and shit. But he said, this must happen. And he said, don't worry about it. Wait a minute. I want to make sure we're clear on this. Come on, stay with me. Right. But think about this. Just think about this. Ready? Who's he telling not to worry about it? Who's us? So in other words, there should be some worrying about it, but it shouldn't be you. There should be some people upset and freaking out about it. Fox and all of them should be having fits about it. But not you. Say, but not me. He just said, Jesus said, this must happen. Don't worry about that, though. Look at somebody saying, don't worry about it. No, but Pastor, there's just so much stuff. Turn it off. Disconnect your internet. I was watching so many things about the cops, this and that, and God said to me, the cops been shooting y'all forever. They're just pumping it up now when they can make some sales and get some views on their news channel whenever it's convenient, because they're definitely not showing you all of them. They're just showing you the ones that they strategically decide to show you. Because they got a slow news day or whatever the case may be. They don't care. They show up in their neighborhood while there's a little riot going on. And as soon as it calms down a little bit, everybody in the neighborhood is saying, the press is gone. Everybody's gone. We right where we were. And everything is back to normal. And there's no press nowhere to be found. Because they don't care. They're selling books. They're trying to get clicks on YouTube. Which they get paid for, by the way, every time you click on that junk. So Jesus is saying, don't worry about it. That's supposed to happen. Let me give you one more example. Can I give you one more? Nobody here is a drug addict, right? Well, praise God. That's a good thing. You know some people who are? Yeah? You do? You know, or met some, or heard of somebody, or not lived in your block? So you know what they do. And they do it every day. Are you caught up in that? Why? That ain't your life. That's none of your business. That's what Jesus just said about everything we just talked about. So what, there's wars and earthquakes and famines and rumors and all this kind of stuff? That ain't none of your business. You ain't part of that crowd. Why are you focusing on what they do?
Amen.
Hmm. See, but before this, they will seize you and they'll persecute you. We looked up persecute last week. That's not kill you. That's talk bad about you, say bad things, and try to get you in trouble. And they will hand you over to the synagogue, and they will put you in prison. And you will be brought before kings and governors. And all on account of my name. That means on account of his name. Not because you didn't pay your taxes, or you stole stuff, or you did stuff you had no business doing, and you got arrested. Don't say it's for Jesus. That's all I'm saying. You didn't claim people on your tax return and ain't yours. Or don't say that's for the Lord. That's for you. Okay. Just make sure we're clear on that. But here's what I want to make. Ready? Again, he's making his point. And verse 13. And so you will bear testimony to me, but make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourself. Man, you were too quiet with that. Like, oh yeah, no, we already know that. We're always trying to figure out how to defend ourselves every time somebody says something. I have conversation with you. I ain't finished the sentence. You already worry about how you're going to defend yourself. It got quiet. I'm gonna move on. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you defend yourself. I can't let it go. I gotta stay with it a minute. Let me ask you a question. Is that a real issue for you here? That you always feel like you need to defend yourself? Is that a real issue here? That you always feel you got to have an answer to everybody and you have to say something back and they ain't going to let them talk to me like that? Is there a thing in you that you always feel that, well, but you didn't understand my point. But you didn't understand my point. No, but you didn't understand my point. No, but you didn't let me say what I was trying to say. No, but you didn't understand. No, wait. But can I say something, though? What is it about that? Well, here's what I can tell you. You've just canceled that verse out. You just canceled Jesus' words out right there. He said, don't take thought of how you defend yourself. I don't want you to do that. For in that hour, the Holy Ghost will give you what to say. So when you are beginning to speak up on your own behalf, are you even seeking the Lord? Have you even stopped and investigated your own spirit to realize where your defense right now is coming from? I know this ain't regular church stuff, but it's still biblical. The enemy's way of beating us is to always get us off balance into fighting for our own cause. It becomes about you. It becomes about what you feel. It becomes about your opinion, which, by the way, is an opinion. And I'll speak to you 3 years from now, and your opinion about that thing that you was ready to fight me for won't even matter to you because you grew up. But today, you're ready to die for it. It's stupid. I've been stupid. You don't have to admit it. You've been stupid, too. I ain't taking that by myself. Every one of you. No one's exempt. Have you sat there before you had a phone call with somebody or ran into them again and prepared what you're going to say? And not only did you prepare what you were going to say, you prepared what they were going to say back and how you were going to respond to that. Going through all these emotions and anger and frustration, you talk to them, they ain't even remember it. Now you had this whole thing, this whole dissertation ready. Your argument was ready. You had check and mate, and they ain't even playing the game. They're like, well, I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, I said that? Oh, I didn't mean that. I'm sorry. But make up your mind not to worry. That's the point I wanted to make, and then I got caught up in the other part because it was fun. But make up your mind not to worry. Somebody read that. Go ahead, go. Read it again. Read it with conviction. Now make it in the first person. So then praying to Jesus to take your worry away is out of line with what he just said then, isn't it? No? Come on, you know you all pray to Jesus to make your worries go away? He said make up your mind not to. So who has the authority over that? Who has the power over whether you worry or not? So that means, are you supposed to be praying about worry, or are you supposed to be just making up your mind not to? See, power follows decision. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which quenches every fiery dart. You know what that means? That means when you decide, are you listening? When you decide, are you listening? Not to worry, that activates your faith. And now God responds to that faith. But you have to decide that that's the stand you take. I have to decide not to be depressed. I have to decide not to be scared and worried and freaking out. I have to decide that. I have to decide that. You with me?
Yes.
Why am I pushing this as a point? And if I don't get anywhere else past this today, I'm good. But why am I pushing this at a point? Because the enemy's job is always to try to convince you that you don't have a choice in this. Like I said, he can't stop the move of God. He has to convince you to abort it. He can't stop the promise of God for your life. He has to convince you that it's not yours. His whole job is deceit. He has to continually tell you that you're not worthy. You're not as good as you think you are. The mistakes you made can never be forgiven by God. What are you talking about? You just made that mistake last night. You can't be forgiven again. This is the fifth time. Yet the disciple asked Jesus, how many times should I forgive someone who's offended me? Seven times? He actually put a number in there. He wanted a break. At what point do I stop forgiving him? And it's interesting that that question is asked, because you got to remember me as your pastor and how I go into the word. I don't see this as spiritual. These are people asking people questions. Somebody was pissing him off. And he was tired of forgiving them. And he was trying to get a number. Can I just get a number? Where can I haul off and bust him in his mouth? I just want something, Jesus. Give me something to work with here. Seven? God probably was already at six when he asked Jesus. He picked that number seven for a reason. Like, what, seven, Jesus? And Jesus said 70 times seven. That's not what I was looking for. But my point is, He was letting him know the power in your decision is the most powerful weapon you have. Resist the devil and he will flee. That's a decision. Resist him. Step over here if you want. And he push and threaten. That's what he does. He huffs and puffs. He don't really touch you. He huffs and puffs. And tries to scare you and puts on his monster face. And okay. And resist him does not mean wrestle. It means don't give up your ground. It don't mean fight with him. Fighting the devil. You don't fight the devil. He's a defeated foe. Jesus beat him. What you fighting him for? You stand your ground. And what's your ground? That word God gave you to stand on. And you say, yeah, no matter how you huff and puff, when I come that way, you better be out my way. Because I'm coming through with the armor, and I got my shield. And I'm not going back. I'm only going forward. So your power to stand against the wiles of the devil and his deceit, watch this, is your stand. Don't take up things and try to figure out how you're going to defend yourself when it comes to the enemy. He said, don't even do it. Make up your mind that what he said is true and you won't deviate. But I said that and then I fell off. Okay. How many of you can say, I did take stands like that. And then I still messed up. Be honest. How many people? So you just get back up and do it again. If Jesus told Peter that he forgot to forgive his guy 70 times 7, don't he have to do that for me? You miss that? You think Jesus is going to do less forgiving than he require us to do? I'm sure you're not doing the same thing 70 times 7. I hope not, but at some point, I hope you get delivered. But my point is, he's talking about the ongoing forgiveness. So he's saying, get up and get back in the race. But make up your mind that your mind or your will has the ability by itself to stop the devil. And this is the point I want to make today that is like the gold ribbon on the message. You ready? We went through this last week. I won't go through all of it again, but he talked about the shield, the armor of God, and we broke it down. So it's, if you didn't get it, listen to last week's podcast. It's free. You don't have to pay. Just go online. Here's the thing. So we talked about this whole armor that he gave us that's to stand against deceit and trickery. So it's not a physical battle. We covered that. It's a battle against deceit. Then he says to us to make up our mind not to be moved. That's what worry is, right? To be moved, to be displaced, to question the truth of God or the validity of God's word or the promise of God. Isn't that what worry is? Isn't that what it is? Isn't that what it is? So he just said, watch this. I don't know if you're ready for this. If you think you're ready, say, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
All this, I rebuke you, devil. I bind you. Give me the oil. Get everybody around. Anoint us. And he said, all you got to do is make up your mind, and your mind alone is enough to stop the devil. All that exorcism crap you'll go through, Jesus never did any of that. He said, be quiet, shut up, come out. He didn't say, come on, disciples, we need to get in agreement. Ah, yes, in the name of me. You know, no, he didn't go through all of that. That's church folk. That's church junk. He said, just make up your mind not to be moved. I can shut him down with my mind. Even, are you listening to me? It's a decision. Somebody say, I will not be moved.
I will not be moved.
Yeah, you can give him praise a little bit. Talk to him a little bit about that. That's some good. Man. Man, oh man, oh man. My God. Yeah, Jesus. Jesus. There's some areas right now that the enemy's been trying to push in on you. Just right now while we're here, just make up your mind not to worry. Just make up your mind not to be moved. Right now. Right? What's just right now? Just begin to push in. Just, you got your armor. Just begin to stand right now on the inside of yourself. Just begin to stand. Just start. Just start somewhere. Just begin to stand. Just begin to say to the areas that you have given up or fainted in, that you know that every time he comes against you, just say, not this time. Just say, not. I'm not backing off this time. Just make a decision this time. I'm not going to be moved. Just, I'm not saying in every area, but just pick one. Just pick one and say, I'm going all the way through. So all it takes, and then your faith gets built by that one decision, that one stand. And the Bible says, David encouraged himself in the Lord. What did that mean? That means he'd think back to all the other things that God brought him through that looked insurmountable or that he thought was going to be over for him. And he remembered that. And he remembered, yeah, but you got me through this. And the lion and the bear and the tigers and the whatever and this Philistine. He ain't no different than them. How many men you know, teenage boys, forget men, beating up bears? But he did. And he knew it was by God's hand he did. And so he can encourage himself in that. He can go back to the time. Listen, some of you need to go home and write a spiritual diary, not of all what you believe in for, but just to go over everything God has done in your life that you thought you couldn't get through, and you got through it, and now familiarity has breeded contempt, and you don't think about it no more, and every time something new faces you, you start whining like a little B word, like you never been through it with God before. Why don't you go home and just start to make note? Ask God to show you every single time. And I guarantee you, get four or five things in and you'll look at the thing that you think is Goliath facing you right now. And you go, this uncircumcised Philistine has got less power than that. Because don't you realize, everybody in this room, as I'm speaking to you, and you know I'm telling the truth, that whenever you take in a new stand about something, it's like your mind almost cannot even remember what God did before. Like it's a struggle to hold on to the victories of yesterday. Like a man looking in the mirror, beholding his face, and he walks away, and as soon as he does, he forgets what manner of man he is. Yes, that's scriptural too. But what do we keep coming across here? He's saying, challenge your own mind, your own heart, your own soulish realm to not be moved. Your spirit, let me say something to you. Are you listening? Are you listening? Your spirit's intact already. Your spirit's born again. I don't know why you keep praying for all the spiritual this and that and that. You, even wisdom, for God as Christ has been made unto you, the wisdom of God and the power of God. It's in you. All things that pertain to life and godliness, it's in you. You don't pray to God to give you stuff that he already gave you. That's why you're not getting answers. It's that soulish realm that keeps trying to attach itself to this earthly realm that won't let you see who you are. So you can go into God asking God, God, give me strength. What strength did he not give you? God saved me. He saved you from eternal death. How much more saving power do you need operating in you? He filled you with his Holy Spirit. And the works that I do, you should do also. You have the power given to you already. All things that pertain to life and godliness. It's in us. So Satan has one job. To constantly convince you that you don't have it. We keep focusing on the attack. Oh, he broke in the car. And I came home and somebody stole my antenna. And the devil's busy. Really? Do you really think he cares about the fact that you lost your wallet? You just lost your wallet because you're careless and you need to pay more attention. But if you really think the crux of the enemy's attacks is to just mess up your day, you're a jerk. It's always to make you question if what God said about you is right or not. It's always to make you wonder if you have the victory that he said is yours. It's always to make you wonder, do you really have authority when you lay hands on that sick person? Will they really get well? I'm going to pray. Well, we're going to pray. And if it be God's will, there's no scripture that allows that if it be God's will as an escape clause. We wrote that in so we can go with no faith. Because I say to people all the time, it shouldn't be a if it's God's will. Before you even open your mouth to pray for me, you should already sought God and know what his will is in this situation. You should already know that. You shouldn't be praying if it be God's will. You should have already found that out. Oh, don't pray for me. Get away from me. No, don't come to me trying to guess what God said. I don't go to people like that. I'm going to get a word from the throne before I come to you. Because I expect to. My mind is made up that if I call on him, he's going to answer. Just in the power of your thought is my point. That's where you are. Defeated or you win. I never forget the first time I saw the scripture, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I heard people sing a song about it. And I said, I need to know more than that. My relationship with God is as such. Giving me a church cliche or even just quoting the scripture to me, it's not enough. I need to know why. I need to know more. And I don't. And that was something that was perpetrated on the church that was alive from the pit of hell when they said, you can't ask God questions. How many of you had heard that somewhere in your life in church? You can't question God. There's not one scripture anywhere that says that, but yet still, that's a popular church saying. And I know it's straight from the pit of hell because now you have to accept things that you don't understand, but you're not allowed to ask questions where Jesus told you to question them. And even in the Old Testament, he said, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things you know not. He said the people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. Asking you receive. Seek you shall find. Knocking doors shall be open. So it's all through the word of God that God requires of you to have a relationship, an inquisitive relationship with him where you ask him questions and you don't accept anything as status quo and keep it that way. Let me say that one more time. God designed you to have a dialogue with him, to ask him questions and go through debate. You don't think so? What was that whole thing then about with him and Abraham? Should I go destroy the city? Well, God, let me ask you a question. If you find 50 people, yeah, sure. 50 people for you, yeah, I'll do that. Okay. 40. And he negotiated a deal with God. And God said, how dare you? You said 50. It's 50. Don't say nothing else or I will destroy you. He walked him all the way down to 10. He was negotiating actually against himself because God wasn't giving him no pushback. God would say, no. Well, okay, what about 40? 45. 44. 42 and a half, no less. No, God let him negotiate till he got tired of negotiating. He stopped at 10. God didn't stop him at 10. He stopped at 10. You think God would have followed him to 1? You think he'd follow you to 1? You think he'll sit down and have that dialogue and negotiate with you? And I've had God say to me, I'll do whatever you want. But just understand now, when you make this deal with me, there's things I require of you. And I'm like, I like a sweet deal. Let's do it. And every time he deals with me, there's always something about me. about my flesh, about my opinion, about my stance, about my point of view. You think I'm wrong? Read the book of Revelations. First thing he shows up and says, okay, I like this about you, I like this, and I like this, but here's the things about you I don't like. Every time God shows up in the Bible before he moves Israel or does anything great, don't you notice he goes through this correction phase? He starts dealing with their attitudes and their opinions and the hardness of their heart. And you understand what I'm saying? The heart, your mind. Stiff-necked people, he called them, because their minds were set to do evil. I gave you an earthly king, not because it was my desire, because of the hardness of your hearts. He said to him about having multiple wives, it was never God's plan for you to get a divorce, but because of the hardness of your hearts, I allowed it. Over and over and over, God is talking about, you know what? I have to make deals with you because you could be just so ignorant. But it's not what I want to do. That's not my best for you. If you force me to have to deal with you in an idiot zone, I will deal with you there. But I really got something much better for you if you would just keep yourself focused on what I'm saying. Say, God, something got something better for me. Say it like you mean it. Let's wrap this up. For I will give you words of wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. That's not for the sake of argument. Are you listening to me? That's not for the sake of argument. Are you listening to me? Come on, some of my contentious black sisters. That's not for the sake of argument. He's giving you words that they can't resist to change them, not to defeat them in battle. Are you listening? I will give you words of wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. That's not for you to win the argument and go in your face. It's to change them so they would know the truth that you know. Amen. Then he went and said, you will be betrayed by parents, brothers and sisters, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. Everyone will hate you because of me. We talked about this last week. Just make sure it's because of him, not because you're a jerk. Right. Let's just make sure. But not a hair on your head will perish. Stand firm, and you will win life. Stand firm, and you will win life. Stand firm, but not a hair on your head will perish. But how could that be? He just said, but they will put some of you to death. Then he says, but not a hair on your head will perish. Stand firm and you will win life. Let's close it here. How many of you have read that before today? Have you questioned it? He just said, some of you will be put to death. But not a hair on your head will perish. How does that work? Yeah, it's question and answer time. Raise a hand. Yes, dear. That you might be dead to that person, but you will live on. That's an approach. That's interesting. In other words, you're saying not physically dead. Okay. I believe there's a truth to that. What else we got? Nobody even going to go for it? Go for it, Jericho. Speak up. Okay, legit. Then how would... So they'll kill you, but they won't mess with your hair. They'll keep your hair... Your hair do will still be nice. You'll be dead, but your hair going to still be fly. Okay. I guess if that could... Yes, sister. Okay, being put to death could be losing your faith. I like that. That's interesting. That's an interesting approach. I like that, because that is a death above all. That's spiritual death. That's worse than physical death. Yeah. 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 Anybody else? So you want to hear my take real quick? Some of you will be put to death. Those of you who don't hear this and are heed to it. But you stand firm and not a hair on your head to be touched. Some of you are going to get put to death because all of you ain't going to walk this out. All of you ain't going to stand there. All of you ain't going to make up your mind not to be moved. Or you're not going to make up your mind to stand firm. Or you're not going to make up your mind to believe what the Word of God says regardless of what everybody else says. You're going to fall for the wiles of the devil, and some of you are going to get put to death. But you stand firm and not a hair on your head to be touched. You hold your ground and you resist the devil, and he will flee, and he won't cause you harm. Yeah, because not everybody gets in the game with you and say, oh, yeah, we with you to the end, yes. As soon as a little wind blows. You saw what the disciples did with Jesus. They were, pew, I'll die with you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the rooster ain't even going to crow. You're going to be out. So he's saying that some of you are going to die. You ain't going to stand. But for those of you who do, not a hair on your head will be hurt. That's why you get three brothers thrown in fire so hot that it kills the people who threw them in, but they walk out. That's stories like that all over the place. I should have been dead several times. And I made up my mind to walk through things and come out alive before I was saved. I understood the value of my will as a young thug. And when I got saved, I said, wait a minute. Hold up. You kept me when I cursed your name, God. You kept me when I said you don't even exist. You kept me when I talked so-called Christian believers out of their faith because I was able to show them how stupid they were. And you kept me. And I'm going to get saved and you're not going to keep me? It was no way I'm hearing that. That spoke to somebody. It's no way. I've had guns pointed in my face in the trigger pull and the gun jammed. There's no way you kept me as a heathen. And then I got saved and you're just going to let me just go down the road like that. No way. I'm not having it. I'm not accepting it. I've made up my mind that his word is true and I won't be moved. Amen.